Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And the title for my short message today is, "What's It Going to Take to Wake You Up?" Amen. What's going to wake you up? If you could bow your heads one more time. Father, we ask for your anointing. Lord, that you will give me utterance, that you'll give me strength. Lord God, that the ground will be good soil, and that this word will encourage, this word will edify, this word will bless. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a smile and you may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I titled this, "What's Going to Wake You Up?" You know, there's some people, nothing can wake them up. There's other people, they wake up like clockwork without an alarm, you know, at whatever time, 4:30, they're just up. They don't need an alarm. And there's some people, nothing can wake them up. I was reading about a story of a pilot who was flying his private plane, and he had his two daughters in the plane. And the carburetor in the engine of the plane iced up, and he started to go down, and he crashed. And he woke up a little bit later in some woods and crawled back into the wreckage of the plane because he was so worried about his children, and they were still asleep. I think that was probably a blessing. But some people are going to be surprised when they wake up. You ever woken up and didn't know where you were for an instant, didn't know what day it was? You know, there's really going to be two groups of people that are going to wake up, and I call them alive in Christ and dead in sins. You have to choose which group you belong to. In Romans 6:11, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our life." There's really two groups of people you could classify that people are going to fall in. They're either going to be alive in Christ or dead in sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it speaks about that group that is alive in Christ. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So we have a choice today which group we're going to be in. The other group is the dead in sins. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." In chapter 2, verse 5, Paul mentions it again. "Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ." What this tells me is that there really, you could class everybody in the world in two groups of people. They're either alive in Christ or they're still dead in their sins. Amen. And the question is, what are you going to wake up to? Spiritually, you're going to wake up to one of two situations. Either you're going to be happy or you're going to be very sad. You know, I have a biblical example that I want to show you that you just cannot play around with the devil. If we turn in the book of Judges to chapter 16 and verse 6, we have the story of this very strong man, Samson. And we see that he was supernaturally gifted with supernatural strength, which happened whenever the Spirit moved upon him. But there were some conditions. He had to be alive in the Spirit. And we see here that he decided that he could take his strength and his gifting for granted. He knew that God had blessed him, and he started to take it for granted. In Judges 16, verse 16, he hooked up with this lady that was not of the household of Israel. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. I tell you what, if you mess around with the devil, he'll be asking to find out where he can get you. You know, this story is so amazing that this man could not see what was happening. You would think after the first time when she fooled him, he would say, you know, I got to get out of here. I got to take out of this situation. Tell me where thy great strength lieth. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs, that means 7 cords, withs, that's, you know, those things that hang down in the jungles and were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. He started to think, okay, I can deal with this lady. I can just feed her something and we'll still have a relationship. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had never been dried. And now here's the amazing part. The next part of the scripture said, she bound him with them. She bound him with them. I don't understand how that happened, how he just sit there and let her tie him up. He must have thought, you know what? I got this under control. What I'm trying to tell you is you cannot play around with sin. You cannot play around with the devil and think you're going to outsmart him because he's had a few thousand years to practice. Samson thought because of his great strength, you know what? I got this under control. I can go so close to the edge without falling off. There was a story about a very rich man who wanted to hire a chauffeur. And he auditioned several people. Now, the first guy he started to drive the car at 90 miles an hour. And he took him on this mountain road. And he drove about 1 foot from the edge of the cliff. And although this rich man was very impressed, he came away a bit shaken. But he thought, man, this guy is so skillful. The next guy he had to audition for the job, he drove within 6 inches of the cliff. And he was hugging those curves and going around at 90 miles an hour, and he was only 6 inches from the edge. He was showing how skillful he was. The third guy he came to audition, he drove way on the other side. He was miles away from the edge and going real slow and careful up the road. So after all of this, he asked the guy, you know, the other people that I got to audition for this job, they showed me how skillful their driving was, how close they could get to the edge and how they could navigate. And this third man said, you know, it's not how close you can get to the edge without falling off. Some of us, we try and go so close to the edge without falling off. This is what Samson did. And eventually it caught up with him. After she had bound him, verse 9 says, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. See, this is amazing. The devil will get you so mixed up that you can't even see that he's planning a trap. You would think that after she bound him, after she called the men out, that he would wise up and say, you know, I got to leave this situation. You got to wake up to the situation. Many of us are going through life half asleep, and deliberately so. There's a saying, it's so hard to wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. You know, because we kind of like the situation. We don't really want to confront the truth that this is not a good place to be. And so we hang around the devil thinking we're smarter than him. So she called the Philistines. But Samson this time had not told her the truth. So he was able to just break the widths as if it was nothing. And it came to pass, though, eventually, verse 16. I'm going to skip the other few times. Let's go down to verse 16 of Judges 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. See, the devil will keep pressing you until you give if you hang around with him. He'll try and find your weak spot. If you don't wake up out of the situation, he'll come right to the point until you just give up. This is what happened to Samson. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. You ever been pressed daily? You ever go through every day and it feels like Job? And there came another messenger with another disaster, with another piece of bad news. See, the devil will try and squeeze you to make you give up, to make you quit. That's when you got to look at the situation and say, I need to get out of Delilah's house. Verse 17 is the turning point in Samson's life. The Bible says that he told her all his heart and said unto her, then there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, you might wonder, what does this got to do with waking up? Well, the next verse tells us, and she made him sleep. The devil will try and make you fall asleep in your situation because he's planning something to get you. Amen. It's time to arise and get out of town. It's time to get out of that situation. It's time not to fall asleep. You know, there's been a few times when I've come home from work and I've been tired and I've been feeling so tired. And the car is so nice and warm and I'm sitting in the garage and I've put the garage down and I know that that's not a good thing to do. That's a very bad thing to do. They have found a lot of people like that, sitting in their car with the car running with the garage down. And I have to remember, I got to get out of here. I can't fall asleep in here. That's how the devil will try and press you and get you. He'll put you in a comfortable situation and say, doesn't it just feel so good? She put him on her knee and she had him fall asleep. And now we're going to see something interesting that happens. See, Samson, the name means like unto the sun. He had been a judge of Israel. God had gifted him supernaturally with unbelievable strength. But you can give away the gifts God has given you if you play around with the devil. If you let him lull you to sleep in a bad situation, you can lose your gifting. Now, there's something very interesting about this part of the scripture. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off. And I don't know if you ever noticed this. The Lord counts the locks on his hair. Now, if you were in Sunday school, you know what that number means, right? In the Hebrew, it's Sheba. And in the Hebrew, the number seven doesn't just mean the number seven. It stands for swearing with an oath. What this means is that represented the covenant that God had given him. God had made a covenant with Samson. This was the secret of his strength. Not so much the hair, but the fact that it was a covenant. When it says the number seven in scripture, it also means to swear an oath. God had sworn an oath to bless Samson if he had kept to his vow. But because he had let the devil make him fall asleep, it was so comfortable. He knew that this woman, he had to know that this woman was trying to deceive him, but he thought, you know what? I got this under control. Anytime I can get back up, I can find myself in church. I can pray and God will forgive me. He will deliver me when I call upon him. But sometimes you drive too close to the edge. As the driver said, it's not how close you can get to the edge without falling off. Just the other day, there was one of these people who climb up the sides of buildings and, you know, take their video of themselves hanging over the edge. And this guy was very famous. He had posted so many YouTube videos of him on these skyscrapers jumping around right on the edge until one day he fell. See, the devil will lull you into believing you're so smart, you're so athletic, you're so good, you're so strong. Samson, just lie right here. I got this. You don't have to worry. You know you can always find the strength. But his covenant was broken. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head and began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now, verse 20 is the verse I wanted to call to attention, because I told you there are two groups of people, those who are alive in Christ and those who are dead in sins. And when those two different groups of people wake up, it's always to a bad or different situation. We see that this time it said in verse 20, and the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep. Can you imagine the shock? He thought, I'm going to do like I did last time. But he found out something was missing. What's happened? He did not realize that right away that the spirit had left him. I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that God, the Lord, was departed from him. What I'm trying to tell you is what it's going to take to wake you up. Where are you going to wake up? How are you going to wake up? To what situation are you going to find yourself? Has Satan been able to cut off the covenant, the hair that you had with God, the covering? Has he been able to steal your gift? Has he been able to put you in a situation where you're asleep? Just fast asleep. It's so comfortable. In fact, I did it Friday. My wife doesn't know that. I came home and the car was so warm and nice, and I had put down the garage and it was so warm and nice and the engine was still running. But something say, hey, this is not the place to sleep. The Spirit will be telling you, this is not the place to sleep. You better get off of Delilah's knees. This is not the place to sleep. She's got the Philistines watching. She's about to cut off your covenant. She's about to cut off your covering. It's time to wake up. You can't play around with the devil. He'll put you to sleep. He'll put you to sleep. You know, sometimes it's affliction that wakes us up. Sometimes God has to put us in a place where it's painful for us to really wake up, as they say, and smell the roses. And we realize how far we've gone and what danger we're in and just the place that we've wandered into. You ever got lost in a place that wasn't so good? And then you realize, you start looking and you've been driving and now the whole neighborhood has changed and you're not recognizing where you are. See, Satan will just let you drift off and he will put you in a place where you suddenly realize you're far from where you were going. Sometimes God has to put us in affliction to wake us up. Sometimes it's not until we're at that point where we're crying out and saying, Lord, I need your help, will we really wake up to the fact that Satan has been putting us to sleep. He's been putting us to sleep. He's been giving us some drugs. He's been giving us something to make us forget about what God has called us to. See, Samson got into trouble because he played with the devil. My father used to say, the strongest man and the wisest man. Solomon did the same thing. He thought, I'm so smart. The Bible says there was none smarter than Solomon. So he thought, you know what? I can go right close to the edge. I can marry all these women that don't believe in my God. I can marry all these women who worship idols. And I'll be smart because I know that their idols are nothing. But you see what happened at the end of his life? He became to the point where he didn't really know where he was going. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanities. He began to lose his way. You can't play with the devil. You can't let the devil put you to sleep in a bad situation because he will cut off your covering. He wants to take away your gifting. He wants to destroy your walk with God. In Acts chapter 12, verse 6, I want to show you something about the people who are alive in Christ. See, Samson had made a mistake. He had played with the devil. He had committed sin. So when he woke up, he was in a tough situation. Now, I want to show you somebody who's alive in Christ when they wake up. In Acts chapter 12, verse 6, it says, speaking about Peter, and when Herod would have brought him forth, that same night, Peter was also sleeping. But you see, when you're alive in Christ, you can sleep the sleep of a baby. Because you know who has got it covered. Now he was sleeping just like Samson was sleeping. But you see, it depends on which group you're in. And Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was tied up and bound. Satan thought, you know what? I got this guy now. Tomorrow we're going to chop off his head. But when you're alive in Christ, it's a different kind of waking up. When God has got your back, it's a different situation. When Samson awoke, he had broken God's covenant. But here was Peter, bound between two soldiers, and an angel woke him up. Not an alarm clock, an angel of the Lord came to take him out of trouble. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter. He was sleeping so soundly, he had to kind of slap him a little. Hey, Peter! Now that's the rest of God. Facing execution, most of us would be up all night. Lord, what's going to happen? But Peter said, you know what? Just like Paul, if I die is gain, if I live is gain. He knew where he was going because he was alive in Christ. If you're alive in Christ, you can sleep peacefully. If you're alive in Christ, you know how you're going to wake up. Amen. Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with Christ. You know how you're going to wake up. You don't have to be afraid of which day it is and what time it is. Now, this morning when the Red Cross called me, I don't know what time it was, and I didn't know what day it was. It took me a little bit to figure out, who's this calling me at 3 a.m.? But you know what? Peter was at rest. Peter was at peace. He was between two soldiers. And you know who woke him up? An angel. I tell you, when you're alive in Christ, the angel of the Lord will encamp around you. The Lord will deliver you. The Lord will protect you. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off. When you're alive in Christ, chains will fall off. Amen. You won't have to wake up from a nightmare. You can wake up to the deliverance of the Lord. When you're alive in Christ, God has got your back. But when you're dead in sins, you're going to wake up fearful. You don't know where you are. There was a story of a man who, you know, he got so drunk. He got so drunk, this student, and his friends dared him to climb this pole, this electricity pole. And because he was so drunk, this is what happens when you're dead in sins. You do stupid things. Stupid things. Just like Samson did a stupid thing several times. And he started to climb this pole, and he got almost to the top, 40 feet up at the top of the pole. And of course, he must have touched something and got shocked. Now, his parents were Bible-believing Christians, and they had been praying for him. And so when he got shocked, he fell. The shock was so great, it threw him off the pole, and he started falling behind down the pole. And just about halfway, his belt caught on a piece of metal and stopped him. Someone was praying. And he had to stay there all night until someone came and woke him up because he was still drunk. See, when you are dead in sins, you're going to wake up in strange places. But the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places. If you're alive in Christ, you're going to be in a different position. Amen. See, when God is trying to tell us to wake up, it's for a purpose. The angel said, listen, you got to get out of here. You can't stay in this jail. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says, now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believe. Sometimes the devil will make this world look like nothing's happening, everything's going on. You don't have to look over here. Keep moving. But the signs are happening right in front of our eyes. Do you understand that most of the people in the Old Testament missed the signs? You know, we all say, if we were there in the time of Christ, we would have known. We would have followed the wise men. We would have been the first one to the manger. We would have worshipped. But the Bible says, even though they knew the very town he was going to be born, not many people saw the signs. I'm telling you, there's signs around us all the time happening right now, and most of us are missing it. Paul says that now is high time to awake. If you're alive in Christ, don't miss the signs, because they're happening right in front of our eyes. He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. It's time for us to wake up if you're alive in Christ. Don't let the devil lull you to sleep. Don't let him put you on Delilah's lap, or in my case, put me in the car and just shut the garage door. That's not too smart. Samson, that was not too smart. Especially when she did it three times. You know, they say, fool me once, shame on me, right? Or something like that. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Samson let her fool him three times. Because the devil is so crafty. The Bible says he's a deceiver and a liar from the beginning. Don't let him lull you to sleep. You need to fall asleep, if you do, in Christ. Because the dead in Christ shall arise first. Then they that remain and are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air. Hallelujah. See, there's something about this falling asleep, because we're told that there were 10 virgins. All of them were virgins. But here it is, all of them were asleep. Now, this perfectly illustrates my point that there are two groups. Two groups were sleeping, but one group had the oil, not just in the lamp, but also in the vessel. One group, they had the lamp, they had the word of God. But having the word of God is good, but you also need it in the vessel. You need it in the vessel. One group was alive in Christ, because not only had they the written word, the graphe word, but they had the living word, amen, inside of them, the abiding word. Now, at midnight, there came a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. I'm telling you, there's a cry going out right now. We are so close to his coming. And yet most of us think it's still far away. You know why? We've heard it so often. We've heard it from we were little kids. Jesus is coming. We've heard it so many times that he's lulled us to sleep. It's okay. We think, Samson, you're so stupid. You got fooled. But you know what? We are Samson. Exactly. Devil has fooled us and said it so many times that we're sleeping on Delilah's lap. That's a title for a message, sleeping on Delilah's lap. The Bible says it's time to awake, O sleeper. It's time to arise because the cry has gone out. Behold, the bridegroom is cometh. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28, it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. I want to show you something interesting in this scripture. This is speaking about the transfiguration of Christ. Now, in the book of Luke, it tells us something additional that it doesn't tell us about the transfiguration in other scriptures. If you're alive in Christ, you know what you're going to see? His glory. Because it tells us in this scripture that they had fallen asleep. He took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men which were Moses and Elias who appeared in glory and spake of his decease which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Don't know if you ever noticed that. That in Luke it says they were asleep on the mountain. And when they awoke, they saw his glory. Do you see the difference between two different people waking up? If you're alive in Christ, even if you're asleep, when you awake, you're going to see his glory. That's what Job said. Even if I sleep in the dust, I shall arise. I am going to see him for myself with my own eyes. You can stand with me. I don't want anyone to fall asleep. It's time to wake. But it's important which group you're in, because it's when you wake, there's going to be a difference what you see. If you're like Samson and you're gone off into sin, you're going to wake in a panic. You're going to realize that your covenant is gone. You're going to realize that the devil has got you bound. You know what the next thing the Philistines did to Samson? They put out his eyes. They put out his eyes. That's what happens if you keep playing with the devil. Eventually you go blind so you cannot see God's light. But if you're alive in Christ, they went up on top of the mountain. And the Bible in Luke tells us something it doesn't say in the other verses, that they fell asleep. But because they were alive with Christ, when they woke up, what did they see? His glory. That's what it says. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. If we wake up, church, we will see his glory. God will manifest himself to you. He will reveal himself to you. Even if you have fallen asleep, even if you have gotten tired, don't give up, because if you awake alive in Christ, the scripture here says you will see his glory. Isn't that awesome? He took them up on the mountain. They did fall asleep. Peter fell asleep between two soldiers. But when he woke up, it was an angel. When they woke up, it was the glory of God. I'm trying to tell you that God is trying to say to us, if you're one of the 10 virgins, wake up. Get your lamps trimmed. Don't let Satan and this world lull you to sleep. Because the cry has gone out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Many people, the majority, missed the signs of his first coming. They looked at all of the things and said, well, this man can't be the Messiah because. And they started to list all the reasons why he could not be. And in our mind today, maybe this year, we're saying, oh, his coming can't be this year because. And we can list all the things. Well, this hasn't happened, this hasn't happened. But in a time that you think not, isn't that what the scripture says? I'm coming as a thief. If the good man of the house knew what time the thief was coming, he'd be ready. So the scripture says, watch and pray. Jesus went into the garden to pray, and he brought two of his disciples with him. You know what? They fell asleep. He went off to pray. He came back, and he woke them up. Can't you watch with me just a little bit? Don't you know I'll need you right now? They said, yes, Master, we're going to stay awake. Just, we are going to be praying right with you. He went off to pray. You know what happened? They fell asleep again. If you fall asleep at the wrong time, when you wake up, you might be in a not good situation. This time when they woke up, they were soldiers. And they only escaped because Jesus said, you want me, let these go. Because that was God's plan. I'm telling you, we need to wake up. But you need to wake up in the right group. If you wake up in the right group, just like Peter and James on the mountain, it says, they saw his glory. That's how I want to wake up. Paul says, if this body should dissolve, I have a tabernacle. I have a place not made with hands. I want to wake up and I want to see his glory. I want to be passed completely from death unto life. That's the promise. Don't be like Samson. Don't let Delilah let you lull to sleep and think everything. I'm so clever. That's what Solomon said. I'm so strong. That's what Samson said. They had supernatural gifts, and both of them got deceived because they fell asleep thinking they were better. Paul in Colossians or Corinthians 12 says, listen, I'm not going to pretend I'm strong, but I'm going to glory in my weaknesses so that the power of God can rest upon. That's what I'm glory. Not because I'm strong, but because he is strong. When I am weak, that's when he is strong. Hallelujah. When you submit your weakness and say, God, I can't do it. I can't manage it. I will fall asleep without your help. When you're ready to do that, he'll take you up the mountain. And even if you do fall asleep, when you awake, as it says in Luke, isn't that awesome? They woke up to see the transfigured Christ. They woke up to see a glory all around them. They did not know what had happened, but God had given them a revelation. He told them, don't tell anyone this. When you go back down, don't tell anyone else. This is a personal thing for you, that you have beheld his glory. The Bible says, and I say this every week, probably 10 times at church, I say, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. When I awake, if I should die, I want to see his glory. These altars are open. Don't stay on Delilah's lap, because she's about to cut off your hair. She's about to take your covering. She's about to take your covenant. That's what those seven, that number seven means, to swear an oath. The Lord told me this week when I was praying, what should I preach, Lord? What should I preach? I don't get up here and just look for something. I asked God, what should I? He said, tell them be ready. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Be ready. Most of us that are in here have had a church relationship. I say a church relationship. That means you've probably gone to church from you're a baby. Many Sundays, Christmases, Easter. Wouldn't it be terrible to have gone to church most of your life and wake up to find the Philistines be upon thee and your covenant has been cut off? God told me this week, tell them, be ready. I'm going to close this service, but that's what I want to tell you. This message is really about be ready. Be ready. I don't know if that means he's coming this year, but he's saying be ready. Be ready. You know, I'm trying to end. But when you wake up in the morning, hopefully you get up and you do something to get ready. You don't just get out of bed and walk straight out the door, do you? No. Maybe you go to the bathroom and you get rid of some stuff. That's part of getting ready. You have to get rid of some stuff. Then you freshen your breath, right? Get some mouthwash, some toothpaste. You start getting ready. You know why? You're planning to leave. I got a question. Anybody planning to leave? Don't think you're going to get out of bed and go straight out the door. Don't think you're going to get out of bed and go straight to heaven if you're not dressed. Jesus told the parable of the wedding and the man that was found without the garment. You know what? He thought he could just walk in there any old how. And I like the way Jesus told the parable. He said to him, friend, how do you get in here? How do you get in here without a garment? He thought he could just get up and be ready. The message really comes down to this: get ready. Be ready. For in such a time as you think not. Now, I'm not saying God is coming next week, this year, but he's telling me to tell you, be ready. There is coming some trials and some tests. That's for sure. So be ready. Don't go sleeping in Delilah's lap. I'm about to close. I'm going to pray for those at the altar. But I want you to meditate upon this. How can I be ready? Now, we know how to get ready in the morning. We know there's certain things we've got to do. We go through a ritual, right? If you're a man, you do certain things. If you're a woman, you do certain things to get ready. I want you to meditate this week. What can I do, Lord, to be more ready? Have I really done everything? Are there things I need to get rid of? Sometimes if you've been drinking a lot, the first thing you do is to purge yourself in the morning. Go to the bathroom. You get rid of some stuff. I want to wake up like the disciples on the mountain and behold his glory. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you tonight, this day, that you have revealed to us your word. Lord, let it find good soil. Let it find a place to be.